Well, good morning. Happy Advent. Advent is one of my very favorite times of the year because it's filled with hope and joy and anticipation, right? So much getting ready for things, or anxiously getting ready for things, perhaps, since 8 days till Christmas, in case you were wondering, right? So this time is also a time of beginnings as we celebrate the coming of the light into the world, as John's gospel shares, as we celebrate the beginning of God's new good news in the birth of Jesus in Advent. And we also get to celebrate in Advent Jesus' return. So it's this cool, like, dual celebration, right, of Jesus coming and Jesus coming back. And I'm so thankful. I'm so very thankful for the gift of God's love and hope in Jesus Christ. Because, y'all, the world is a hot mess in so many ways, right? War continues to rage between Hamas and Israel. That war can make us forget that war continues to rage in Ukraine. Those wars can make us not aware of the fact that according to the Geneva Academy of International Humanitarian Law, there are 110 armed conflicts happening in our world right now. 110 armed conflicts. Most of them don't make the news, but what we know is happening is pain and suffering, right? And devastation and death and loss and lack of clean water and fuel and food and all those things, right? We know God's people are hurting. We know also there's economic challenges in the world all around us, right here at home. People who don't have enough money to pay the bills, to pay for food, for housing, for medicine, for healthcare, for all the things, right? People are struggling. The world is also quite literally a hot mess, because the World Meteorological Organization has said that 2023 will once again set a new record for the hottest year ever. According to the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the world, we are living through climate collapse in real time, he said, as the world is pounded by fires, floods, searing temperatures. I don't know, I live in Roanoke and we are in the midst of a significant drought. I am hopeful for the rain that is coming today because we need it. Fires raged recently that, at least where I was, it was so thick you almost couldn't see out your window, right? The world is literally a hot mess. And we know that there is disease and there is pain, there is grief and there is death. I would venture to guess that every single one of you knows at least someone who is living with pain and suffering, experiencing grief. That person might even be you, right? There is suffering in our world. The world is not as God would have it be. And I think one of the gifts of Advent is to pause for a moment in the midst of the songs and the candles and the lights and the shopping and the singing and all the stuff and notice the world as it is. To pay attention to our neighbors who are suffering. To keep awake, as Jesus called on the disciples and calls on us, right? To keep awake, to be mindful of the world around us. So I invite us just for a moment to pause for just a second and breathe. And be mindful of the world around us. To notice, to be mindful, to remember those in our world who might be suffering, who might be experiencing pain, to see our neighbors, to see ourselves, and to just sit with that for a second, right? Because it's okay. Well, it's not okay that they're suffering, but it's important to acknowledge, right, where we are. So just breathe, right? Because yes, our world is a mess and there is suffering. And And thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. God is with us. Thanks be to God that God is with us. In the midst of all the hot mess of the world, God is here. God is with us. God is holding us when we are in pain. God is uplifting us when there is suffering. God is present with us. That's the hope and the promise of Advent, y'all. And the hope and the promise of Christmas, right? Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. Rejoice, rejoice, we sang this morning. Emmanuel has come to us. Rejoice. Joy to the world. The Lord has come, right? It's a Christmas carol. You may be familiar with it. Actually, it's an Advent carol, right? Joy to the world indeed. Emmanuel has come, bringing us joy and peace and hope and love and grace and mercy, all because of Jesus, y'all. All because of Jesus, who we get to give thanks to God for on Christmas morning, right? Because in Jesus Christ, God has already come. God is already present with us because of Jesus. God has chosen to live among us, to live as one of us in and through Jesus. God has come so that we might have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus says in the gospel. Jesus has come not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus has come as the light, breaking forth into the world, illuminating our darkness, illuminating our sorrow with God's holy and precious love and light. God has come to give us love beyond measure. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has come to save us, to love us, to forgive us, to be with us. Literally, God loves you more than life itself. Because Jesus Christ has died for you. For you. And for me. And for y'all, and for all y'all, and for all y'alls all over. Right? Jesus Christ has come to die for you. I cannot fathom that kind of love. I cannot wrap my head around it. I have 3 children. I don't love anyone in the world enough to give them up for anybody. Like, just being honest, right? Like, I cannot fathom the kind of love where God would give God's only son for me and for you. Thankfully, God has a hold of my heart and has a hold of each one of us. So if we don't get it, God's still with us, right? God is still with us, sharing with us abundant love. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to us. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Rejoice, rejoice indeed. Let us sing out for joy. Rejoice because God has come in the birth of Jesus. Thanks be to God. And the promise is God will come again. We will speak that in the words of the creed. He will come to judge the living and the dead. We promise and live in the hope of God that Jesus will return. So we are asked to keep awake, to be mindful, to be ready, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. He says that. We don't know the hour, but we know it's true. That is phenomenal good news, y'all. Ecstatically phenomenal good news. It should also, though, kind of freak us out a little bit that Jesus is coming back. Because much of the pain and the violence and the death and destruction, the injustice, the fear that is present in our world is because of what we have done and what we have left undone. We just spoke those words in our confession this morning. That we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. That we have not loved God with our whole heart. And that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Right? And then we plead with God in the confession We beg God to have mercy on us for the sake of God's own Son, Jesus. And we ask God to forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may walk in God's ways and delight in God's will to the glory of God's holy name. Yes, there is suffering in our world. And yes, a good bit of it is because of what we have done and left undone. And yes, thanks be to God, Jesus will return. Thanks be to God. That is phenomenal good news. And again, it also, I'm being honest with you all, it freaks me out just a little bit. Well, actually, probably more than a little bit. Because when Jesus returns, he will turn the world around. That's part of the promise that God makes too. When Jesus comes back, things will not be as they are right now. We heard from the prophet Isaiah this morning. And these are words in the prophet Isaiah that Jesus himself quotes in his very first sermon. It's recorded in Luke's gospel. He's back in his hometown. He's in Nazareth. He's preaching. And he quotes these words from Isaiah that we heard this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. The Lord God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. The Lord God has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vindication for our God, to comfort all who mourn. Oh. That's some bold words of Jesus. And it should startle us a little bit and kind of freak us out. If it helps, the people of Nazareth heard Jesus speak those words and tried to push him off a cliff. For real. You can read it in Luke's gospel. Because Jesus shares these bold words and they were like, what is he talking about? He's turning the world around. When Jesus returns, the world will be turned around. We sang this morning. I didn't even know this was the hymn, but it's like the Spirit was moving. Awake, awake, and greet the new morn. We sang. Where is it? In the darkest night his coming shall be, when all the world is despairing. As morning light, so quiet and free, so warm and gentle and caring. Then shall the mute break forth in song. The lame shall leap in wonder. The weak be raised above the strong, and weapons be broken asunder. That's the promise of Jesus' return, right? That is the promise of Jesus' return. And again, it sounds amazing and also kind of makes me a little nervous because it means things would be different. And I'm not the biggest fan of change all the time, right? But I give thanks for the fact that Jesus is coming back, because our world needs God's holy presence. Because it's a hot mess. We need God's love and grace, hope and mercy, forgiveness and joy. We need God's presence with us. And the gift and promise of Christmas and Advent is that God is already here bringing about all of these things. We live in this interesting time of like God already at work, but the fullness of God's time not yet here. We already get to see glimmers of God's presence, God's love, God's hope, right here with us every moment of every day, turning our world around. I get to see a glimpse of God's holy presence every morning. Ish, if I'm awake, when the sun rises up over Reed Mountain, which is in my backyard, and literally watch the light appearing over the ridge of the mountain. In the summer, it's going to be over this way behind the trees, and I won't get to see it as much, but right now, it's coming right up over the mountain. And I glory in the majesty of God's creation. Wow. I was on my drive over here from Trinity. And I just happened to be driving by as one of the farmers was bringing a bale of hay out to the cows, and it made me chuckle out loud to watch those cows. They were like scurrying, running down the field like, yeah, breakfast time. And it just made me so smile and laugh out loud at the majesty and the wonder of the awesomeness of God that here's these like cows who are just so happy. Maybe they weren't, I don't know, but that's how I experienced it. It was just a moment of like, wow, God's creation is so cool, right? I celebrate the presence of God when I hear about congregations who and people and individuals who take such care of God's creation, knowing that the world is a hot mess and knowing that we got to care for the majesty of Mother Earth, right? I hear the presence of God's voice when I hear my children laugh. I probably also hear God's voice when they're not laughing and arguing and all those things. They are young adult men now, so sometimes I hear, you know, they're talking to each other on the phone or they're on Discord talking to each other over their computer games, and I hear them laughing and I just give thanks for God's presence and the love, right? I give thanks for the gift of being able to spend last night with my parents who live here in Harrisonburg, and as we told stories over the dinner table. I give thanks for the presence of God when my dog, sweet yellow lab dog, lays her head on my lap. I give thanks for the amazingness of God's holy presence as y'all have made sure that there's an AED here in your community to care for God's people, to ensure that there's life-saving care, right? I give thanks for the ways that I don't even know about, but I know that you are sharing God's love with the world. As you leave this place and you go about your daily lives, working and playing and schooling, whatever it is that you're doing, you are beloved children of God, gifted with amazing, unique gifts, and I give thanks to God every time I think of you. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Because you are reminders that God is at work in the world, in and through you. And part of the invitation of Advent, too, is to pause in the midst of the singing and the chaos and the whatever, and notice the awesomeness of God around. So much like in a moment of lament, to pause and breathe, I invite you to just pause and breathe. And maybe think about, notice, times when you have experienced or seen or noticed God's presence around you. Just breathe and be mindful of God's presence. One of the reasons I invite you to breathe as we do that is because one of my favorite words for God, it's a Hebrew word, it's ruach. It's just a fun word to say, right? Ruach. It means breath, spirit, and wind all together. And it's a reminder for me that every time I see the trees move with the wind, God is present. That every time we breathe, God is with us. The Spirit of God is as close to you as the breath you breathe. God's holy presence with us, as close as the breath we breathe. So again, an invitation in this season of Advent, perhaps especially in these last 8 days as we head towards Christmas Day, is to be mindful of the world around us, both the pain and the suffering, and God's holy presence with us, turning that around and bringing about God's love and grace and peace and mercy. I give such thanks for you, for the gift of Christmas, and for the gift of the presence of the Christ child, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen.